Hello. This is my first real poem. Now, I don't smoke, but I say it's a great way to start a conversation. And there's an envy, because without that full pull of nicotine, it seems like you're assigned a station, lingering on the fringes of newly discovered friends and philosophies. So I wonder how my life would transpire if I had that ritualistic desire. Hey love, I have tobacco, I have skins, but I lack a filter to acknowledge that anything I leave unsaid is going to halt the natural flow of what I truly intend. Detailing microscopic subtleties that eluded me unless I can tap into a lens that magnifies cohesions to those two who make no sense. But opportunity sprouts from such passive chats and claims for a spare flame, the name of a flirt, unearth something deeper. And I know as I stare into the black of my pint, I'm the sleeper. Unnerved and uneasy, the thoughts of organic conversations queasy. Out of leagues, I stare in intrigue, wishing I could spark up a conversation as easily as that. But let's move on from the land of smokes and onto the ever-expanding multiverse of yokes and tokes. Now I'll admit freely that these substances have entered my system, and on certain occasions I'll admit that I miss them, facilitating the gap between real and make-believe. But in truth, they never really suited me. But half a whisper lingers on the word, unfortunately. Because although I bear my soul freely, it isn't always easy to express unadulterated affection when you're off ecstasy. But I digress and acknowledge the stress of somewhat sober breaths is somewhat worthwhile, and I'll probably be a better man for going to bed before my mother. Forgoing the appeal of dancing to trance, swapping romance for a fresh casual lover, able to not mind being unable to put one foot in front of another. It sounds good some mornings when I rise at 6:45 and catch another's unrested eye. And to be honest, we feel about as fresh as each other. But I state that my status is marginally more class, and I allow myself to judge an individual as a collective whole. So like my dad, I start to berate society's less functional souls. The artists, musical technicians, who double up as poets, who speak of experience as serious as any lecturer you've had teach with passion of the subjects of which he spoke. And being honest, to me, UCC's ideologies made as little sense as those 6 a.m. hallway epiphanies. The air thick with misquotes from a protesting counterculture whose methods I could probably never invoke. Sustaining their blurred intensity with a cocktail of smokes, tokes, and yokes. I imagine half wishing they were living more fulfilling lives free from tribulations and attacks. But try do the same and with considerably less crack.
Thank you, Richard. You should actually title that, "This is my first real poem." That's really cool. Now, there are a number of people on the open mic. Hey, it's only a suggestion, man. It's your work. Don't get excited. There's a number of people on the open mic who haven't given me their second name on the page, so if you just let me know what it is when you come up, I'd appreciate it. And you, Molly, you're the first of them.
Shells clatter along the shore, that kettle whistle of the wind. Girl, take your heels off. Feel the sand between your toes, the squelch of it. Gentle raindrops dance on your collarbones. Girl, scoop the blue nectar into your palms. Pour it on your forehead, crevices of your cheeks, your next violet streams. Girl, sway your hips, swish your belly, twist your wrists, move to the melody of the earth. You are its pulse. Girl, place your hand on your heart, count its tip-tap, all that you do, all that you are. Girl, buy a bag of salt and vinegar chips. Dig your fingers deep. Lick your lips. Girl, close your eyes. Let salt air weave through your vertebrae, sewing you back together. Girl, Come back whenever you need. I am the water, you are the seed.
Thank you very much, Molly. Megan Cronin.
I didn't write this down, because I didn't think I'd read it, but here we go. It's either called ladylike or unladylike, one or the other, I haven't decided. But bruises and scars are so unladylike. But so speaking out of turn, it was unladylike to have rights. It was unladylike to fight. It was unladylike to go out at night. Being ladylike has gained a new meaning. Being ladylike is being breakers of glass ceilings. Being ladylike is expressing my feelings. So how dare somebody try to confine me when I came out kicking and screaming.
That's Megan Cronin, she's a ladylike. Maureen, come if you remind me of your second name.
Thanks very much. I'm here from Toronto, Canada, and it's a pleasure to be here and to be with such spirited and devoted poets. I'm just honored to be here. I'll read two poems. They're from my fourth book, there are a number of poems that have an Irish theme, so I'll read one of them. This one is called Further and Further West. My mother had waded well out into dementia, let's say up to her hips, maybe even her waist. Her sister similarly afflicted, though maybe just ankle deep. They were both heading for the island, the one in the middle of the lake. My cousin told me she'd taken my aunt to Ireland, and as they were driving further and further west, they saw the road sign for Innisfree. I told my mother the story, how my aunt read the name, then recited the poem to its very last line. I began, I will arise now. And my mother rose to the challenge, completing the poem, all 12 lines, nodded at the end. Their sister, their horseman, pass by. And this is a short poem also with a reference to another poet. I think you'll catch who it is. And the poem takes you to Osorno, Chile. So it's for my partner who's in Canada now. Kindly stops. The car of love crawled into the rundown part of town past the Ropa Americana thrift shop and earthquake-damaged stores, their wooden balconies awry. Te amo, te amo, te amo, oh, 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 in magic markers scrawled along its side, coughed to a stop beside the old stone fort and stretched out its wings, its doors, I mean, to let the newlyweds out. The way they signaled each turret, north, south, east, west, with a kiss got me missing you. When I arrive home, you say my long absence awoke a fear. Sleek, that black car with the chariot wheels and obsidian wings, panther face in chrome on the grill. When might it pounce into our driveway? Who would be first snatched into the passenger seat? Who left behind to watch? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maureen. And can I just say that we're delighted you decided to spend an evening here with us, all the way from Toronto, Canada. Thank you so much. Next up is Jack Shortland.
Hello, Jack. This is called Aspirations. You were a big part of my life, and I keep on lighting the candles even if I don't believe. In stress, I bless myself. In distress, I say, one Our Father, three Hail Marys, and a Glory Be, even if I'm not convinced. If I'm struck down by a lorry or a stroke and some good soul thinks to minister first aid with whispered aspirations in my ear, I know I'd be glad of it, even if they're only winging it. And if I'm conscious it's the end, the devotions of a seven-year-old will most likely issue out of me in sync with my dying breaths. Jesus, Jesus, you have come. Jesus, I am now your home, even if you don't exist.
Thank you, Jackie. That was magic. If I had time, I'd ask you to read it again, actually. Next up, I'm going to take a stab at the song named Yours O'Brien, Deirdre.
So this poem is about the Arctic and how it's disappearing. So the Arctic. The thaw is happening and it's happening fast. The Arctic will not last. Every year at least 400 giant icebergs melt. Their jagged rocky mountain ice, weather-sharpened features, years to grow to brilliant white, by 2040 be gone forevermore. The climate is changing and it's changing fast. The Arctic will not last. How high will the sea levels rise? Where will the flooding and the hurricanes strike? What species will perish? No one knows the answer. The canvas is pure blank, and I'm troubled by it all as I'm filling up my tank.
Thanks, Deirdre. You know you're in Cork when the canvas is pure blank. Melissa, is it Steeple?
Steffi.
Phone.
Yeah, that's the problem. All
right. Uh-oh. I'm enjoying this as well, isn't
it? It's all in the pause.
There's nothing as effective as a well-timed pause.
Let you on though, and then try and get it first. Maybe. I had it open. Maybe
find it. Get right here.
We'll come back to that temperamental Maryland phone in a second.
It's awful.
Next up is Grace, and I don't have a surname here either. Grace.
College phases. Reed grew his hair out while Kate cut all hers off, left school for a semester, and joined a band. Leah started going to Bible study and doesn't drink without her high school friends. Amber joined the Frisbee team and leads them in assists. And Raj finally started dating an Indian girl that his parents approve of. Megan came out, moved to Colorado, and never came home. Mike exiled a classmate while Julia backpacked South America, met a guy, left a guy, and stopped shaving. Alex creeped through the Harbor Quad in November, and I spent my spring break on a hippie commune. Pierced my nose, stopped wearing combat boots, and owned too many flannels. Maddie started a sorority, Emily transferred closer to home, and Alex tried cocaine, and our parents don't get it. Don't get us in our college phases. They don't remember returning home with beards and English majors, listening to music with explicit content. They don't remember their phases that passed, just as college days also do.
Thank you, Grace. I normally wait till the end of the night to say we're going to Mames for a drink, but we're going for Mames for a drink tonight, Grace, and we want to hear the story of the spring break. You can comment. Set yourself up in the corner. Will you give me a shout, Melissa, when that phone is actually working and we just slot you in?
I will.
And I keep
if
moving.
I'm still here then.
That's okay. So next up is Yvonne Bremer Spillane?
Brewer.
Brewer Spillane?
My friend again.
Yay! Give a round of applause to Clara for bringing a whole bunch of people this night.
And I call her Fairy.
Okay, the poem I have has a kind of spooky theme, and it's a poem that Tamara likes. So I'd like to read it because she's been such a very good friend and mentor to so many of us. And with Halloween in the air, it's nice to have a spooky theme. So this poem is called His House. She looked out at the morning mist, listened to the seagulls bickering, felt the salty air write a message on her blemished skin, and got on her rusty bicycle. It's time, she whispered to the curious ocean, to return to his house. As she pedaled along the old beach road, the memory of the house's soft air seemed to already blow the salt from her hair. She recalled how the windows were like mirrors of sunlight, reflecting feelings of everything being just right. She got closer to his house and the fog got thicker. Her bicycle creaked like the heavy gates as she arrived. As always, he felt a breeze on his neck and shoulders when she entered. And he watched as nobody walked through his rooms, as it happened on this one day every year, when his heart grieved her loss and her spirit celebrated the joy of returning to his house.
Okay, we're going to have another go at that temperament. Oh, I can't say that word. You know what I'm talking about. It's Melissa Steph.
Melissa
Steph.
Being alone is jubilation. Being alone stings like hurt, cries like ouch. Being alone is necessary sometimes. Filtering out the noise, getting to the pure, the real. Being alone is silence and raucous, rowdy ramblings of the mind. Being alone is sweet and sour, sometimes time flying, sometimes forever hour. Being alone is a choice. Giving yourself a voice, find your soul's rejoice. Being alone is the skinned knee, lonely tear running down your cheek. Being alone is everything you are and everything you are not. Being alone is facing the fear of you. Being alone is trying to be enough. Being alone is accepting the rough, using the polish making you shine. Sometimes being alone hurts so much that you feel your heart being pulled out through your nose. Sometimes being alone is the only touch you can handle. Sometimes being alone is wishing someone could handle you. Sometimes being alone is triumph, conquering the greater fear that kept you there. Sometimes alone is the witnessing of someone else alone. Tasting their fear and letting it roll on your tongue.
Yes.
Sometimes alone means you fly. Alone can be so weak, so strong. Alone doesn't know right from wrong. Alone waits sometimes until another comes along so it won't be alone. Alone is me and you. Alone is us, each in our own bubble. Toil and trouble. Alone is a joke and the most serious thing you can know. Alone silently begs you to stay while you go. Alone wants to touch. Wants it so much and yet holds back. Alone wonders when you're near, are you really here? Alone hangs its head and kicks at the stones. Alone shows a puffed out chest and great bravado. Alone sits and cries until puffy face and bloodshot eyes. Alone is quiet because there's nothing else to say. Alone quietly slips away. Alone can't be left alone if it decides to leave on its own.
Right, put your hands together for our current 5 world champion, Jim Krigerda.
A film for depressives. She's the heroine in a boring film. 3 hours in and nothing is happening. Just slow boiling emotional turmoil. The film was never on the silver screen. The only ever spectator was her. The only ever writer was her. The only ever critic was her. She calls it the art of self-portraiture. Full of every depressive's favorite themes. Wringing hands at a dark ceiling. The search for something to believe in. Lots of navel gazing and mood rings. Vast plains of empty time that terrify. Brief respite walking under moonlight. A film featuring the struggle of cleaning, eating, and taking showers. A film featuring the struggle of surviving the hours. Action in the depressive's trained eye. Alone that night on her porch, waiting on insight, a white moth fans towards the yard light, catches her eye, she begins to symbolize this long, slow film needs a turning point. Winged creature in white, are you a sign? I could do with a savior tonight. The moth lands on her tie. It's clear there is no juggle of meanings. With warm eyes, she rises, goes inside, hopeful about tomorrow's sunrise.
Thanks, Jim. Awesome title as well, by the way. Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Stan.
It's called Proper Walk to Quarter Mile. God alone knows what you're up to. A smile without context, blame you again. Nutritious laughter feeling no shame. Automated script goes on forever. A lunatic fabric stamping its origin. Gainfully employed, eschewing the main roads, the local jokes surrounded by questions, on the quiet, Audrey cranking accusations, pennies dropping for the sake of another job, respectability gaining ground eventually. Get where you want to go, nicely rounding, the corners miles walked, hitting derision. Another holiday then, walking the long grass, a walking recess, a higher calling than here. Shunted into bedrooms, your sage is slight, nursing antiquity, regretting the act, of home world chaining, fear of the present pint, of hard-wired lunacy going to waste, knowing disaster before it ever happens. No apologies to those who said or done, dissuading, strange communion, restricting common living, still attractive despite a glowing shame, walking a crooked mile to ease a figure. Blind by better, sick to death of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Charles Clark.
Wedding a few years ago, with some people, with some of my connections, we stopped at Tremorland Castle, which is enormously grand, or is it indeed? and a great house from the superb octagonal room, the bar, when views golfers avoiding casual water, a smooth fairway and large trees, becomes aware of the ineffable boredom of residents turning the pages of the Sunday Times. A reprise of the opening scene of West of Suez, John Osborne's Lament for Empire. The world is a period piece with waiters presenting sandwiches and brandy, and one wants to think a comeback at least once more to where lords and ladies on the wall were at home, and presidents continuing to offer wisdom to a gaping world have so paused in their earnest solicitude. Perhaps I will come back, and I say so to the waiter and offer a generous tip. Welcome, but unexpected.
Thanks, Charles. So it's worth coming just to hear Charles say good evening. Okay, this time last week, Monday night, our next man on the open mic was crowned joint and won the slam champion. Last Saturday night, correct me if I'm wrong, you finished fourth in the All Ireland slam. Well, huge welcome for Ali Brack. Thank you. History is to blame. History is to blame, but don't you know that you've been eating my whole family for years? My whole family for years. Stop doing it. Don't you know that you've been eating my whole family for years? But history is to blame. No, history is not to blame, no. What is your problem? Retribution has got an arm so long that it keeps catching up with itself, tapping itself on the shoulder and saying, history is to blame. But don't you know history is to blame, is the phrase of those that don't realise that history is just a word like any other. Yes, like any other. Like any other word, it just plays up to the fancy of the beholder. But don't you know that history is just a word? Don't you know? History is just a word, it's absurd, but still shepherds the herd. The mountains whisper louder than human beings, but we still don't hear them. They have been speaking about the great upturn, where every mountain becomes a valley. They're running away from us, they're running away from us. Don't you know that they're running away? They're shouting, shouting to the sky. They have created an us and we're their them. They have rejected the weaver, the stitch, the hem, sight, vision. Joyce's ineluctable modality of the visual, casual, restrain. We can all feel the same pain, we can all sustain the same stain. Ineluctable, unavoidable, inevitable, able, 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 able. Despite the rumours, we are able, alas. Super as always, Ali, thank you so much. Shauna Lee Lynch.
How can you say you're not affected when each day in the news more hate is projected? Tabloids whore headlines across our screens of madmen massacring with semi-automatic machines. A lone wolf loads down with a rifle, rallying reservations because his hand was on a Bible. Not the Quran or other holy papers, not typecast a terrorist because he could have been their neighbor. The world is on fire. Be careful of getting burned. Bernie couldn't have saved them, even if he got the popular vote. Sure, Hillary, she had her trials, but at least she's not an infantile threatening missiles. Now, I'm not saying she definitely would have saved them. This isn't a movie, and she isn't Jason Statham. I wish this was a film that was better directed than a country collectively defective because of who has been elected. All of this is a confect to make NFL players genuflect, to show the president they reject his pure and utter disrespect that he has come to represent in the minds that he infects like a virus. He spreads and itches, calling sports heroes sons of bitches. Not forgetting him declaring, grab him by the pussy, inadequacy and inaccuracy, propagandizing white supremacy and toxic masculinity. Let's look closely at the matter at hand, that the US is being run by a fucking madman. So we pray for Vegas, we pray for Paris and the rest, but why is there no hashtag to pray for Bangladesh? South Asian floods killed 1,200, but from our philanthropic Facebook feeds, these people are excluded. As are the thousands of Rohingyas refugees, and I think it's because they don't look like me. The world can be fucked, lads. Respect the flora and fauna. Thank you for listening. My name is Sean.
Trump is endless inspiration. Poets, comedians, and anybody who's known. Right, when Ali was doing his thing last Saturday night with the All Ireland Slam, Benjamin Burns was probably at home weeping because he was soon to be what he is now, the ex All Ireland Slam champion.
He was one of the judges then.
Last Saturday night.
Stay with it, Ali. I'm ill.
I was drinking myself into oblivion.
Like I said.
I... we'll start again. I dispel monsters with mirrors, befriend giraffes to reach treetops, extinguish fires with blue shampoo, watch snails emerge from the shell. In love with cement mixers and the songs that robins sing, I get jealous and upset, but it's all very exciting.
Thanks, Ben. Philip Spillane.
Since it's the month, I have a horror poem, but it's a first draft and we were reading it this morning, so I hope you find it frightening. you've been warned. He trudged against the snow, his boots croaked, the snow iced the land, his breath fogged like smoke. In the surrounds, the white was as frozen as white can be, and colder than white should be. Inside him, everything spasmed with white, his pupils dilated with white light. Draped in a coat, body sieving with whiskey that churns inside, but even that did not vanquish the cold inside. Shivering as a body tried to create some sort of heat, he cut through the fields to get home quicker. Only the lake stood out in the field's heart like a scraped oil spill, spoiled and still, in wanting, in waiting, in watching him. His eyes draped with drunk tiredness, but he was awake enough to know what he saw. A woman naked and skipping on the lake snow shore. She rose and spun and come to land as graceful as a swan that flies and lands. She would pass as Persephone, as a Persephone mistress of spring, and a Helen that could cause battles between man. Her body pink, with rosy cheeks, she should be dancing in May, eyes glistening flower chews, with chest fruitful and inviting. He trudged up, breathing hard. She beckoned him closer, a hand on her heart. Some alarm in his head said, something of this nature is not right. But his nature moaned, a virgin girl wants me by her side. Cursed by the long hands that mesmerized him forward, she grabs her warm touch, colliding with his blistered, gloveless hands. She grabs and breaks something in his inside, She tracks into the lake, helpless, where he was found, drowned. Thank you. Thank you.
Halloween has officially begun. 8 minutes, 4 poets left, John Tynan.
I have 2 short offerings. One is about kind of random thoughts, like the first one. So, sudden as a pounce, smack, I was assailed. An ocean, I would see a white cat. Why? Does it matter? Thoughts need no reason. Cats can be black too. Prescience is fickle. Dogs don't count. Next thing is a poem about how we're doing things for many day after day, and then someday we stop, but we don't realize this is the last time we're doing it. No hint of recall when I last lived the often acts of many every day. No reason why, no reason. No reason when, who knows, impossible to say. A reason why, a reason. For no premeditation, consternation, salutation, we never meet again. His reason. No requiem for memory of episode in life and love. Circumstance assassinates. No reason. No. No treason. Pointless inquisition for acts now missed, not then when last indulged. Perdition. No. No perdition. The last time for whatever. Reason to hug. Reason to kiss. No more reason to love. If knowing within reason it was the last, would it without reason have been left in the past?
Thanks, John. Thank you. Carol Ann, is it Gould?
Yes. I wrote this yesterday, and I never rewrote it, so it's a...
It's going to be frightening, like Phillips.
It'll never go, it'll never change, it'll never stop, it'll never die. You and I exist across all platforms, all mediums, all axes, at which points intersect and cross through space and time. Tangible or not, through all its thrilling, thrashing, pain, harmony and lies. The only thing stopping us from seeing and feeling and believing is that we together cannot realize that these things don't come around too often and are often once in a lifetime. And yet we still compromise. That this was it, this is it, this is now, was now, now is here. Ever and all encompassing of fear. The fear that me and you, despite being two, made one. I watched the space congest, be put to the test, and be filled with things that I managed to manifest in my own mind. Consequences, thoughts, and versions of myself kept on the shelf, under the false pretense that they had transformed themselves into something else. Something sublime. It'll never cease to amaze me at just how blind one can be.
Thank you. Very nice, Caroline, and super cool shoes as well, by the way. 4 minutes, 2 poets. Kieran McCartland is our penultimate performer tonight.
Bobby's gonna help you here. Got a cup
full of coffee and a pocket full of change. Static on the radio, too far out of range. The wise and the weary have been looking at us strange. And a fresh-faced companion needs someone else to blame. But a mash of the newspaper come rolling on the street. Stop dancing in these pools of blood, stop dying on your feet. Scribe announcements on the banner, slap the faces that you meet. Tell them today is forward and yesterday was retreat. I was just acting like I was acting, I really was sincere. Come dancing with me, baby, let's get on out of here. Soft shoe shuffle on my spirit, 4-4 fling on my fear. Calling screams for falling dreams, sunrise is near. Heads are floating, feather light, and hearts sway a ton. Each leaf falls in gentle sway, and bravo wings the sun. Can you hear that ticking bomb or see that smoking gun? Let your tears shine like crystal. It's a beautiful day to be young. Bohemia's burning banner is a youth smiling in rage. The swan song has been sung, the free birds are in their cage. The free spirit of the young is laughed at by age. The pageant has begun, mass players take the stage. How not to be labeled with a scientist's sticker, nor card with a critic's pen, when they come calling with their questions of who, why, what, and when. Dolce, carpe diem, now is now and then is then. The old man coughs and splutters, the blank faces mime, amen. See a flicker in the street light, come dance in the setting sun. Come rolling on the street, blow the smoke from your gun. Where do you think you're going? The end's only just begun. Let your tears shine like crystal, it's a beautiful night to be young.
Thanks, Gerard. Great last line as well. And the last poet is already here, Bob Bishop. So I wrote this when I was exploring my shadow self and exploring loneliness and exploring all of my fears. And this is what came. These days I can't get out of bed, all the negative thoughts run around in my head. I feel like I'm going insane, when will I wake up and feel no pain? I can't eat, I can't sleep, and I can feel the harm, cause doing shit has lost its charm. I don't know who I see, when I look in that mirror I do not see me. My ego's desire for whinging is massive, the knock-on effect is Jurassic. Bad thoughts at the bad thoughts, how many fights that are being lost? It feels like I'm in knots, but thank God for Alan Watts, cause his knowledge paved the way to say move beyond the grey. Please don't feed the demons, they get big and you only see them. Please don't feed the demons, accepting them is the only way to defeat them. Please don't feed the demons, they get big and you only see them. Please don't feed the demons, accepting them is the only way to defeat them. It exists in the mind like the past and the future and the concept of time. The sad story that my ego derives and it keeps me asleep and I'm deep in its lies. I talk about suicide, but I'd rather live. I fucking hate myself, but I have to forgive. I don't want to ask for help, cause I've nothing to give. As much as I don't want to show that, it has to be better than this. You're shit, you're weak, you're ugly, you're skinny. This is my demon, this bastard is in me. I feel like I'm going insane. Why do I carry so much pain? Please don't feed the demons, they get big and you only see them. Please don't feed the demons, accepting them is the only way to defeat them. Please don't feed the demons, they get big and you only see them. Please don't feed the demons, accepting them is the only way to defeat them. This too will pass, cause nothing lasts forever. No.